Blog Talk Radio.
Coaching Impact Radio, informative conversation by coaches for coaches with Frankie Dorn and Terry Hayes. Our guest today is a certified life coach, clinical hypnotherapist, and more. Yet she was almost a statistic in failure. It was a life coach that pulled her out of a downward spiral. This so impressed her that she dedicated herself to coaching and empowering others. Empowering Women in the UK today with Frankie and Terry's guest, Coach Kate Young.
I have to tell the story how I kind of came across this. So I am a big fan of keeping, you know, my finger on the pulse of all things coaching. So I'm one of those individuals who sets up all those little Google alerts that lets me know all the cool things that are happening around life coaching. And Kate's name came right across my little computer inbox because she had the opportunity to get interviewed. And I just thought, Kate, you know, I want to kind of do a quick acknowledgement of that little bit of press. I think it was a really great write-up. It was the Mail, wasn't it?
Yeah, the Burton Mail in Staffordshire, which is right in the Midlands of the UK.
Yeah, really great write-up. And what struck me about you in particular and why I thought you would make such a great treat to bring to our audience is really the work you're doing, again, around your niche, having to work with women in the UK and that perspective, because so many of our listeners, I mean, they're all over the world, but so many of our listeners may be really out of touch with how coaching women is going in the UK. I think it's a really interesting subject. And, of course, I bounced it off Frankie, and she's very enthusiastic.
Absolutely. We love to hear about, you know, what's going on in coaching around the world. So I'm really excited to hear your perspective, Kate.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So let's start with just a basic question. First of all, how did you get started in coaching? Sort of what was that journey for you? We always like to know how you got here.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it was really a personal experience of coaching myself. Prior to getting into the coaching field, I worked in human resources for 12 years. And, you know, had a really successful career with that. But it got to a point where I kind of felt unfulfilled and unhappy with what I was doing. And I think all of that negative stuff that was going on for me at this point really was the kind of like the catalyst to help me seek support elsewhere, to help me work out where I was going. I felt quite lost and quite stuck, and I didn't really know how to get out of that situation, how to feel happier, really. And I couldn't work it out for myself. And unfortunately, all of this led eventually to me suffering with a condition known as chronic fatigue syndrome, or sometimes known as ME. I don't know what it's referred to over in the States, but it's kind of either of those will be used. And it's kind of very much like having flu all of the time. It's very, very, very debilitating. And there was no medical sort of support for that. And it was so strange because I came across life coaching really when I'd hit rock bottom with this illness, and I didn't feel that I was able to there wasn't a very bleak future for me. And the life coach that I worked with at the time, she helped me realize that what I was thinking about, my beliefs and my mindset, was all making the symptoms so much worse. In fact, I believe it was kind of like making the illness there in the first place. And so I had a real light bulb moment at that point when I realized that actually by changing my thinking could actually change the physical experience that I was having. And it did. And, you know, it took time, and it took commitment, and it was a slow and steady journey. But eventually I recovered. I got well simply by thinking positive, thinking energy, and all of those things that I'm sure your listeners will completely understand. And after that, I thought, well, you know what, this is, if I can do this, if I can make this change, then others can too. And I really just have this urge to do something about that, and to help others make their own profound changes. And it kind of linked back to how I was prior to the illness, where I was that feeling stuck thing that I explained just now. Mm-hmm. And all of that come together, and it just seemed to make sense to me that I was destined to do this kind of work. And so I got trained, and then I launched my business.
It is a calling. It's so interesting listening to you describe this, and it reminds me, and Frankie, I'm sure you can echo this, it reminds me just how common the human experience is around being drawn to coaching, because I don't care who I'm talking to from what far-reaching corners of the world or the countries, pretty much everybody's story is the same. It's these aha moments that are stacked up on top of each other. Frankie, I mean, you've been around as many years as I have. This is the call, right? This is the story of the call.
Well, it's so true, because I think we reach a point where the unfulfillment in our lives is so overwhelming that we just can't stay where we are. We have to make some change. So that really is the catalyst for change. And coaching, in so many cases, is the answer. It's what is very fulfilling. So, yes, you know, there's a common thread here for sure.
Yeah. Mm.
And I think that if I had, sort of like looking back at the my sort of like that health issue that I had, I just consider that to be such a gift actually now. And I certainly didn't feel that at the time, as I'm sure you can imagine. But now looking back, I don't think that I would have had the guts, I suppose, to have left that old career and took the plunge and to do something different. So I also sort of look back at that now and think, well, actually, you know what, that there was such a blessing for me in the end. I love it, and I love what I do now, and I'm sure you guys too, you know, get up in the morning and I actually really want to work. The problem is stopping working.
No, yeah, we have no idea what you're talking about. Nothing at all.
But you know, here's another thing that's very common of coaches, is that their own personal experience that has led to transformation is exactly what leads them to coaching, you know, in a specific niche. So I'm curious as to how your experience led you to coaching women specifically, and around what issues. Can you share that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think like you said, you know, just to explain, my niche is professional women in the main, around the ages of 30s and 40s is really my target, and I relate to these people really on the two main reasons, I think. The first is because I have been in her shoes and not really knowing how to get help and how to sort of feel different. And sort of change for people can be, you know, obviously massive and really profound, but it could just be something small in their lives that they think, well, actually, you know, if I could just adjust that or just change that, then things could be so much more positive for me. So I think because I didn't know where to go to for help and to feel different, I feel like there must be, and I know that there are, so many women out there who are in that exact situation right now. So I kind of very passionate about being the person to say, look, you know, things can be different and I can help you. I have the skills, I have the experience, I have the expertise now and I can help you do that. So I guess it's sort of like almost looking back at myself and where I have been and feeling a passion for that. The second thing I think also is that over the years I've just become increasingly interested in the differences of the genders and sort of how we operate in the workplace as well as at home. And that's one of the things I also referred to in the press release, Terry, that you referred to at the very beginning about there being certainly underrepresentation of women in senior roles in the UK, for sure. And even though we have, you know, legislation around equal pay, there is still that pay gap in existence. So I just feel very passionate about doing something about that too, and helping women make that progress, because I really believe that, you know, we have just so much to offer and there are barriers both internal and external, and I feel very, very, very passionate about helping women to break those barriers and to reach their full potential. I think it's just something that comes from my heart, really, that sort of need to do something about it. Does that answer the question?
It does, and it brings up for me kind of a next level question, which is, you know, every corner of the world, I think you go to the examination of the different genders and the roles and how each of them are emerging. I mean, I think that there are opportunities for coaching centric to women. I think there's opportunities for coaching centric to men, but it mm-hmm. really is the pulse, right? It's the pulse. And in the UK, even though, like everything you just said, here I am in the States, right? And I'm going, yeah, you know, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I know that even though we're both kind of on the same page with our thoughts around that, I know that the speed at which things develop the things that are very topically relevant are different from country to country. So what are some of the most common coaching obstacles that you are finding that you're coaching in the UK? Is there some like specific thing that you go, oh, I talk to my clients about this all the time?
Yeah. I find that the root cause to most of the things that people present are is self-esteem. You know, people present all sorts of different things, anxiety, you know, even things like depression, all these sorts of things. But it almost always stems down to this belief around their own sort of self-worth and this sort of low confidence, really, in their own abilities, kind of self doubt. This is kind of what I see coming up time and time and time again, and almost as well is that sometimes I find that there is quite a negative belief about what confidence is. I remember once I did a little workshop and I sat down and I just said to people, okay, what is confidence? And the responses were shocking. It was all things like arrogance, being big-headed, and all of these things. Nobody said, well, you know what, it's amazing, and it's what, you know, we could really take people forward and help them feel fulfilled. And there was none of that. And I find that a lot in, certainly in the UK, in my experience of working with people, that that almost like to self-deprecate and to sort of be humble and to sort of, you know, put yourself down is almost something that I see happen for people to fit in with other people, or to not stand out and to not be judged judged by others, because I think that there's an awful lot of that, that fear of being judged as well. Perhaps by blowing my own trumpet, people are going to think I'm big-headed. So there's an awful, that's another thing as well with women in particular, worried about what other people think. It's a very, very common one, which probably stems down to the low, so I'm saying all roads seem to lead to this low self-esteem thing. So quite often when I work with clients, it's going back to where this all started from, you know, and, you know, quite often it was events or events that occurred during, you know, childhood and things that they've learnt and sort of learnt behaviour from parents and such like. So that's probably the biggest thing I find.
And it's a pretty big thing.
It's pretty amazing,
Yeah, it is. It's a very big thing. I think self-esteem being really an underpinning of so much, men, women, you know, but you're right. I mean, I would echo that. I definitely see that coming up in women quite a bit, and it's always interesting to remember, you know, how much it comes up sort of across the board or around the world, so to speak.
Yeah, I think so.
Oops, Frankie, go ahead.
I can certainly say the same for clients in Canada, you know. I mean, so I think it is a universal issue. I think where you see maybe the cultural nuances is what you just said, Kate, about, you know, people self-deprecating, and that is more maybe a cultural situation around, you know, lack of self-esteem. I don't see that a lot with the clients that I work with, even though there, you know, may be self-esteem issues. I don't see a lot of the self-deprecating remarks, and that is a, you know, a way that they fit into society. So that maybe is one difference. Terry,
yeah.
Do you
Yeah, no, I do think there's some interesting nuances to what will you say, cultural, regional, educational, socioeconomic. I think that, you know, there's a lot of factors that get in there and influence the way we all turn out, right, and the way we continue to evolve. But I definitely have seen some very similar situations as what Kate's describing amongst the women, right, women's groups in particular. Not that men are immune from this by any stretch of the imagination, but, you know, yeah, not at all, but definitely there is a dominance to it, and I'd actually like to talk about also some of the other trends, Kate, that you see coming up in the UK around coaching, but we're going to take just a quick break. Mm-hmm. We're going to be right back.
Coaching Impact Radio is brought to you by Impact Coaching Academy. Impact Coaching Academy offers life coach training and certification in over 20 specialty categories: life, business, couples, health and wellness, and more. Courses can be completed as self-paced study, live teleclasses, or in-person intensives. Just like our radio show, Impact Coaching Academy is by coaches for coaches, and you can join in for free. Sign up now for your free membership and receive over 20 hours of training and programming, yours to listen to and enjoy, absolutely free. Then chart your own path for growth with courses that are starting soon. Check the calendar to see the current offerings. Impact Coaching Academy. Check it out right after the program at impactcoachingacademy.com.
Alrighty, and we're back. So we're going to dive just a little bit deeper while we've got Kate held captive. We're going to find out in the coaching community in general in the UK, what are you noticing? What are some of the trends? Is it growing? Is it thriving? I just want to get your perspective.
I think it's definitely growing. I don't know, I might be wrong, but I've always got the sense that perhaps the UK is slightly behind the United States in relation to coaching as an idea. And I think that certainly of course, there's always going to be people that are very cynical about it, but certainly from just seeing the amount of coverage it gets, the amount of coaches that are coming up, it appears to be a growing thing, which is great news, obviously, for me.
Yes.
So yeah, I would say that it was growing. But in terms of trends around this, one of the things that I'm seeing an awful lot more of these days is online stuff. So online webinars and coaching programs that is all done online, and sort of technical sort of developments around it, which is something that I mean, it's great because it allows people, because it's more affordable as well for people to sort of join into this. So I think it probably does make it more accessible. But also it's just another way of kind of like getting your work out there and helping people. So, I'm certainly seeing more online webinars, that kind of thing. Niching, I think that's probably a massive thing that is developing, the amount of people that are really seriously niching their coaching. I mean, some of the sort of specific things these days, eating psychology or around personal image, and there's an awful lot. I mean, there's coaching just around, you know, making more money, divorce specifically ones. Obviously, there's the sports coaching. So I'm seeing these popping up much more. And certainly myself, sort of, you know, because when we get qualified, we're qualified as general life coaching, and as I'm sure you have done too, you're trained to kind of be able to do almost anything, be able to deal with any issue. But when you go out there, you can't really distinguish yourself from all the others. So I'm seeing a lot more people getting this idea of really being absolutely so focused on who their ideal client is. And it's almost like some micro niches, really, are coming up. So I mean, I imagine that's something that's happening across the world. But I think because coaching is becoming more popular, I see a lot of coaches in my networks and things like that. And to be able to be competitive, that's one of the things that I'm seeing happening. And women-only coaches is something that also is very, very, very popular here. I'm seeing, you know, quite a lot of people that in terms of their niche, they are going for women specifically. I don't know why that is. I think perhaps that because that they are women themselves, and maybe it's some similar reasons to me. I don't know. But so those are one of the, so they're kind of like the key things that I'm seeing. In fact, there's quite a lot of just going on sort of the women development thing, really. That we have a lot of women initiatives over here. In fact, some of them are actually government funded too. Sort of specific training, women only network things that are going on. So there's quite a lot of recognition, I think, and particularly at government level, of the need to invest and to develop our women. And I'm kind of going off on a bit of a tangent here, but I'm certainly seeing more and more women realising that having their own business offers them the sort of the flexibility, I suppose, that they need from employment. So it's just general observations, really.
Yeah, and you know, you're singing to the choir here, because, you know, if I let Frankie loose, she's going to start singing the praises of tight niching. Go ahead, Frankie. Let her loose, baby.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was smiling as you were talking about it, because certainly from my perspective, and I know Terry shares this, is that is niche coaching is the way to success for the majority of coaches, because you can focus on your target market. You're really more connected to your passion when you figure out you know, who your audience is, because mm-hmm. you're bringing your story to them, and your story includes your experiences, which are so relevant to
yeah.
your audience, and it's also relevant to what you're getting back from them and what you're learning in your own self-development. And that, if you wrap all of that up in a nice big bow, that helps you make a much better living as a coach. Mm-hmm. You have less struggle, mm-hmm. you know. And so, yeah, we love mm-hmm. niche coaching.
And when I very first started my business, it was very much scattergun approach. And I think that it, you know, it took me a while. I knew I had to niche, but I wasn't really sure what that niche was for a while. Well, you know, obviously I've always been drawn to the women for the reasons I've explained, but you know, there were sort of so many different options. It's like, okay, where am I really going to go with this? And you know, I had to go on my own journey, really, I suppose, with the business to work out, oh no, yeah, this is where my heart lies, this is what's really important to me, this is where I'm going. And you know, and I think sometimes people, I've heard people who respond to niching in quite a negative way, because it's like, I think they sort of fear that they're going to have no work. In fact, it's the opposite, as you've just said, Frankie. But it's like, well, I know I couldn't possibly turn down work, or you know, actually, I must sort of like make sure my website talks to everybody, otherwise it's.
Yeah.
But actually. Yeah, I think, you know, it's perhaps a new concept for a lot of people out there. But, no, I'm certainly seeing more people get it these days.
Yeah,
for sure.
Well, you know trying to speak to everyone means mm-hmm. that you end up speaking to no one, because
yeah.
your message is not clear, it's not directed, it's not received. And so, you know, as we've all said here, you know, rather than limiting your work, when you kind of look at a focus niche and make it like an inch wide and a mile deep versus a mile mm-hmm. wide and, you know, trying to capture everybody, you are going yeah. to be able to craft messages that really resonate mm-hmm. with your prospects. And mm-hmm. you're focusing on what their challenges are and what the solutions are that you're bringing to them in a very specific way. And that's just marketing 101. So, you know, coaches need to really understand just general business practices, and the niche coaching fits right in there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a perfect fit mm-hmm. to growing your business.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. I think that the thing I was going to add to this is that this call, right, and I think that this is where even as coaches, we need to support and encourage coaches to figure out their niche, to recognize that figuring it out quickly versus taking some time, sure, that absolutely impacts, you know, your bottom line. But at the same time, this is what's interesting to me, is I think we also need to allow, like what Kate's talking about, because I had a very similar experience, Kate, that whole journey of trying to figure out exactly where I wanted to land and that sort of thing. And I see that
yeah.
happen. It's, I think we need to, as an industry, I think we need to let that be okay, like to have it say, you know, as long as you understand that, yes, this is going to seriously impact your bottom line, and it is going to increase your business to get a really clear niche that you're very passionate about. But if it takes you, you know, 3 months, 6 months,
mm-hmm.
a year, take it. Go ahead. Waddle through it. It's, you know, waddle through
yeah.
it as long as you know, but just stick with it until it pops. Because I see so many coaches that think, oh, I have to do this in the first 45 minutes, otherwise I can't possibly move forward at all.
Yes.
And then they
yeah.
stay there for like a year doing nothing. And I'm like, no. While you're thinking, keep working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, you can take time. You got to get it right.
Yeah,
I think,
beautiful.
I think you got to follow your heart.
Well,
a coaching business evolves. You know,
yeah.
Terry, you and I have been in the industry for 12 years. Kate, how long have you been a coach?
Just a couple of years now. Yeah, still quite new.
Yeah, but still, you know, I know with Terry and I, where we started was very different from where we ended up. And who knows what 6 years from now is going to look like. You know, and I'm
right.
sure the same situation happened with you. So it is an evolution, and I think every coach needs to understand that. And it's all good. It's not like you're making a mistake, even if you start in one area and you say, you know what, that's not where I want to be. That time spent has led you to your next step, to the next part of your journey, and that's all good.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think the final thing I want to share with our audience today is how you've sort of brought this all together to create your business, and what is the challenge from coach to coach? You know, I mean, we're all just coaches here. So from coach to coach, all of this coming together, what is the biggest challenge that you have faced and how did you, or are facing, and how did you overcome it, or how are you overcoming it?
The biggest challenge really is dealing with my own personal, I want to say mind monkeys, which are those, you know what I mean? Those little bits of self-doubt. And I've already spoken about, you know, the self-doubt and self-belief issues. And obviously, you know, I'm not immune to those things too. And so that's kind of what I've been working on. And, you know, and I still continue to do so on occasion. I need to do that. But it's having that absolute belief that this is going to be, you know, that this business is going to continue to grow, and you know, it's going to be successful. The vision that I have, you know, years down the line, you know, that vision, you know, I'm getting there. I'm working towards it, and so I guess it's been the personal things, really, those personal little things, that little bits of fear of failure and all those little things along the way that I've kind of sparked up every now and again, and working on those. And how I do that, one of my favorite techniques is emotional freedom technique. Or tapping. So do you know much about that over in the States?
Oh, yeah.
I think that's probably where it originated. Yeah, it did. I generally kind of use that as my technique, as my sort of the best one, really, for me. It's just been decluttering, but not just once, it's just continually recognizing, being self-aware about, okay, you know, am I doing sort of negative thinking about the business or an event that I've got to do or whatever it is, and to turn that around. And so self-coach, really, which is kind of sometimes easier said than done, isn't it, when you're in the middle of it all. I think it's been the mind, because all the other stuff about setting up a practice, I think that has been relatively straightforward for me in my experience, and I just kind of trust that I will be meeting the right few people. I've met some fantastic people who have helped me build my business, and I'm continuing to do that now, totally getting my head around sort of what works in terms of building my business and what doesn't. You know, for instance, I've made massive mistakes with advertising. It doesn't work for me. Whereas the sort of the personal, the networking approach, that sort of more personal face to face type of development has really, really worked well. So I think that it is just that sort of development of my ideas of how I'm going to promote the business and how I'm going to grow the business, and trial and error. And, you know, as we always say in NLP, there's no such thing as failure, and keep on reminding myself of that and keep on moving forward and trying new things. So, of course, there's lots of challenges, but I think perhaps the biggest ones has been going on in my own mind, which I continue to work on.
Yeah, you, me, and everybody else.
Yeah.
Well,
and I suppose that's it.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? Well, I just want to give a quick last shout-out round robin. Frankie, any final questions for you?
No final questions. I just wanted to thank you, Kate, for being here with us and for, you know, sharing the perspective of what's going on in your part of the world. It's really nice to hear, and so thank you for being with us.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you, Kate, very much for having me.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. And, Kate, any final words you want to have our listeners know?
Hmm.
I know, what an opportunity, right?
Now you put me on the spot. Any sort of final words? No, it's just, well, for all those coaches out there, just keep on doing the great job you're doing and keep that passion. And I suppose the key thing is always remember your why, the reason why you're in business, because that's what keeps me going in the morning, keeps on moving forward, you know, that reason why I'm actually doing it. And if you can't, very quickly and easily answer the question why you're in business, then get that sorted would be
yeah.
my thought.
Get that sorted.
Be very, very clear about why your business is first thing, and secondly, the benefit that you are obviously giving your clients. Because, you know, so often I hear people describing, what coaching is, and, you know, I think that probably people are more interested in, okay, well, that's really nice, thank you very much, but actually, how are you going to help me? So those are the two things, the why and the benefits.
Yes.
That's my final word.
Perfect.
Yeah, I was going to say, from her lips to everyone's ears, well, this has been a great conversation, just a delight to have you. And with that, we're going to hand things back to Vince to close us out for today.
Consider it closed. You can find our guest on the internet. Check out Kate's blog, coaching programs, and more at kateyoungcoaching.co.uk. Coaching Impact Radio is brought to you by Impact Coaching Academy. Experience ICA with over 30 hours of complimentary materials, then chart your own specific training plan at impactcoachingacademy.com. And of course, join us and access the growing archive of programs here at coachingimpactradio.com. Join us next week, same time and place, as we continue the coaching conversation. I'm Vince Hayes. Bye-bye, everyone.